For Theatre Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And we are joined this morning by actor Rick Latimer. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Here we are in the middle of a pandemic, and you've just completed a role for video.
Yes.
But before you were so rudely interrupted, you were in your already nominated performance as Melina, the window dresser, in Kiss of the Spider Woman at the New Phoenix Theatre. I think now you hold the record with everyone from last year for longest standing Artie nomination, right?
Cause it's oh, yes. Yeah, it's been a long wait to see how that's all going to break down.
And the two roles are on the exact same stage.
They are. It was a little surreal walking in there. You know, you look up and all of a sudden you still see some of the Spider-Woman set. It feels like a lifetime ago, but it also feels like it just happened.
But I have to point out that the two roles back to back are so completely different. As Melina, you're rather effeminate. You wear dressing gowns, put on makeup. And in your role in Foxfinder, you are a gruff farmer with a shotgun on a mission. Very different.
That's exactly how I wanted to kind of approach it. Just not do the same thing over and over and over again. Doing one character one way and then just completely 180 the next.
So the play, let's describe for people a little bit, because it's available to be seen on video, Foxfinder by Dawn King. It's an English play.
Yes.
Contemporary writer. And it's a dystopian play because we just need such comfort in these times. It is this rural couple in a dystopian England where there are bureaucrats who come around to find foxes.
Correct.
Who are supposed to be messing with the population and destroying the food supply by messing with people's psyche. Only problem, no one has ever seen a fox.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, and these little bureaucrats come around and basically destroy people's lives.
If they don't like you, there's a fox somewhere on your land, and then you are suddenly gone.
Right.
So it's, yeah.
Interesting choice for right now, but I had people tell me that it's selected specifically because we're living through a pandemic. So I was interested to hear you talk a little bit about that. Why is this relevant for these times?
I think one of the areas of the play that really struck me was kind of what's happened recently with everything, the QAnon, especially my character, Sam Covey. He's a man that suffers incredible trauma. And I think what I discovered is that when you've suffered trauma, you become very susceptible to suggestion, to anything or anyone that's going to take that pain away. And that leaves you extremely open and vulnerable to being seduced or corrupted or brainwashed into believing anything. And if you see Foxfinder, you'll see that he kind of goes into that type of mindset somewhere in the play. And I think what's been going on with the QAnon craziness and what we saw in January kind of feeds into everything that's happening.
You're talking about January 6th. I'm glad you said that. That's exactly the feeling I had. This guy seemed normal, and then he just gets swept up in this paranoia to the point even his wife doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who he is anymore. Very scary.
Yep, and you've been seeing interviews with people like that all around the country. So I think that's definitely a way this play just kind of tapped into it.
But at the same time, it's not reality, and it has the great pleasure of an episode of The Twilight Zone as we indulge in this deliciously dystopian fantasy and just like, oh, don't go into that room, guy. Don't go into that room. That kind of great pleasure.
Rick, in so many of your roles, you're kind of one-off. Your character is either strange or dark. And I'm wondering, does the role make you or do you make the role? How does that happen?
Well, I do have a little bit of a darker sense of humor, and I think I bring that to all the roles I play. But I've always been more attracted to roles that are more the troll under the bridge than they are the knight in shining armor type of roles. So if I have to wear a suit and comb my hair very nice and look very pristine and stand-up-ish, then I'm probably not going to accept that role. If I'm going to play a role that allows me to develop a physicality, a different voice, some interesting makeup, a cool hair design, then that's going to be something that is really going to be attractive to me, and I will jump all over.
So that was going to be my question, because Melina in Kiss of the Spider Woman, he's a ray of sunshine, really. In the midst of horror,
yes.
He is the one telling the fantastic stories, the uplifting spirit in the midst of the most terrifying prison situation. But you have explained how he fits into what would attract you to a role. It is exactly that counterbalance to what's going on with Melina.
I think so. And playing Melina was one of the great roles that I've had the entire time. It's been on the wish list to do since I think I saw the VHS box cover to the film back in like the late 80s when I was shopping with my grandmother. And then I just researched and I've always wanted to do it. So I was really fortunate that we were able to do it for a short time. But the pleasure of getting to develop the character, to understand Molina and then just be able to show it to a select few was very rewarding to me.
And it's done. It's not coming back. No one's talking about continuing the run of Kiss of the Spider-Woman, or are they?
That's a Richard Lambert question.
Oh, that's a question for Richard Lambert's the artistic director of the new Phoenix Theater. So he's not the way Andre DeShields was telling us. The producer keeps calling him, when we come back, you're coming back with us. Not so, not necessarily.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, the set is striked, but you never say never.
It was not that elaborate a set. Two little beds, right?
Hey. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But actually, that set was pretty clever. It did have the pieces suspended in the air and so forth. It was, you know, okay.
And, you know, that's when we came back. That's what was still there. Like, I look up, and that's what I saw.
Right.
So, you know, it was like, whoa.
Mr. Wilson's set, yeah.
Yep.
Well, during the shutdown, what are you doing besides Foxfinder to keep yourself busy?
Well, more theater work, really. I mean, me and, you know, these two folks, Mike Dobin and Shelby Converse, we got together and we formed our own theater company, our own virtual theater company right now, 1666 Theatrical Productions. And we've just been developing some ideas. We've done a few small works that we've released on our website, Edgar Allan Poe adaptations, and we have some more stuff on the way in the coming year.
Mr. Dobin is also an Arty nominee for the past 14 months.
Yes.
Not for Spider-Woman.
He keeps reminding me of that, too. He keeps waiting. He's patiently waiting, too.
And of course, if it involves Rick Lattimore, it would have to be Edgar Allan Poe.
Have to be Poe. Yeah. Okay. And on that note, for Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.